Chapter 5. That wasn't really where I was preaching out of, Pat. No, I'm just kidding. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5. Pastor Vernon talked about love. Brother Eco talked about joy. Tonight we're going to talk about peace. And of course, they all go together, don't they? And they all deal with our relationship with the Lord. So we're going to talk about this tonight. And don't we all need peace in our lives? If there's not a time now, I'm not sure when there is, that we need peace. And so we'll talk about this tonight. Let's look at the verse, starting verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I read these last verses as you think about our relationship with the Lord. If we want to have joy in our life and want to have peace and we want to have love, we can't have these other things. We can't have the flesh taking control of our lives. And we've mentioned that of how we ought to let the Spirit, Holy Spirit, rule in our life and not be desirous of pumping up ourselves, but just serving God and honoring Him and letting Him take care of the rest. You know, I was thinking of the definition of peace, and I found a really good, I just looked in the regular, you know, Webster's dictionary, and they had a really good definition. It's a state of mutual harmony between people or groups, especially in personal relations. Freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, or obsession. A state of serenity. You know, as we think about peace, we sure do, as I mentioned, need that in our lives. We think about all the things that are going on in this world today, all the things that are outwardly cause us to have anxiety and stress and just turmoil in this world. But then we also think about all the things that we deal with personally. And, you know, it doesn't take long. We come here on a Saturday night for the men's prayer meeting, and maybe there's 10 or 12 of us, and it doesn't take long to make a list of all the things that people are dealing with and have a long prayer list of things that people are facing in their lives and problems. And we sure need God's help in all of this. So the first thing we want to see about peace is an upward peace. Obviously, we have to be right with God. Our first experience of that is when we get saved. When we have made ourselves positionally right with God. Right? We are positionally right with Him when we are saved, and we've asked His forgiveness. God's come into our life and saved us and changed us. But then we also, and we'll talk about this, we need to be practically changed day to day, right? Sanctified day to day, and let God work in our lives that way. But for us to have peace and joy, we first have to have a relationship with the Lord. And then we have to be right with Him daily in our walk with Him. We're going to spend some time in Romans here in the beginning. And I hope you got your fingers all loosened up, because we're going to go to a lot of verses tonight. And we'll have to move fast. Pastor said I got to be done by 9:30, I think he said. So we'll have to hurry. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Aren't you thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? And what He's done for us. Let's look at this verse. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for us to ever find peace in our life is to first have peace with God. The only way for us to find that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, it's simple, isn't it? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, right? He's the only way. He's really the only answer for salvation, but not just salvation, but anything in our lives. You know, when we think about all the things that we go through and all the problems that we face, if we just turn to the Lord, He has the answers. The problem is we don't turn there, do we? But God has saved us. He has helped us. He has made us right, right? This process of love and forgiveness was first initiated by God. Look there in Romans 5, verse 8. Most of you probably have this verse memorized, but God commendeth His love toward us in that what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before God ever formed this world, before He ever made Adam and Eve, He knew that someday He would have to come and die for them, for us. That He would have to reconcile us unto Himself. Yet He did that, and He followed through with His plan. Before we knew Him, He knew us. Before we loved Him, He loved us. And so God initiated this thing. And then, of course, as we just read, through faith, it's received by man. If we're saved, we've received that. We've accepted that. And we begin to allow God to work in our lives. And then, just very simply, and I say simply, when you think about the blood of Christ, there's nothing simple there. But it's a simple plan, isn't it? Look at verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So to have an upward peace with God, the only way to have that is through Jesus Christ. Through His work, through His blood, what He's done for us, and beginning the process of allowing God to work in our lives. So we see an upward peace. Number two, there ought to be an outward peace. So as we are right with God, then we have to be right with everybody else around us, don't we? That gets a little hard, doesn't it? We struggle with that sometimes. But God can help us with that if we'll let Him. If we desire that, right? Let's look over in Romans chapter 12. Just turn over there a little ways. Romans chapter 12. You know, I was thinking of all the things that God gives us and all that He wants to have in our lives. And I was thinking today as I read this chapter of all the things that will cause us to have division and strife and not be able to have outward peace with man. Look there in Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse 3. Of course, in verse 1, it talks about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice that's holy, that's acceptable to Him, so that we can find God's will for our lives. And then he says in verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." First thing that we see that could damage our relationship with other folks is pride. Thinking highly of ourselves, to think that we're better than somebody else. You know, Pastor and I have talked about this. I didn't get to give him a report tonight. We're kind of rushing in to get in, but with all that was going on, we had 76 people out tonight. Now, that's tremendous, but as I rode around today, I couldn't help but think that we have so much more to do. So many more people to reach. How many people that we pass day to day that not only they're not saved, they haven't even given God a thought today. Yeah. And so as we think about these things, and we think about thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, you know, God accepted us as we were, right? And as we reach out to people, as we bring people in, and I hope that we'll have more and more and more people in here, guess what? We have to accept them as they are, right? Now, I'm not saying that you accept sin. I'm not saying that we're going to change the music or change the preaching. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when people come in, God takes them where they are. He saves them and He moves them to where they ought to be. I would imagine that a lot of us, before we were saved or just after we were saved, if we were all sitting here that way, we probably struggle a little bit, wouldn't we? And so we're all on equal ground, right? The ground is, the old saying, the ground is level at the cross. There's none righteous, right? There's none good. There's none that can boast. The only boasting we have is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing that we've done. So for us to be prideful and arrogant is somewhat ridiculous, isn't it? But let that creep in, right? Let your flesh swell up with pride, or let Satan help you with that and see if it doesn't cause division and strife in your church. So we see that pride, look at verse 9. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And so favoritism can be a problem. You know, one thing that we ought to avoid is just hanging out with everybody that we know and never going out to try to reach out to anybody else. You know, I thought about this. Everybody that I could think of in my life, for the most part, you know, maybe there's somebody, no, that would affect me the wrong way, like Michael, but just kidding. He's been picking on me all day. I told him I had to pick on him a little bit tonight. Everybody in my life that I've been around that are Christians, right? If you think of everybody here tonight that you know that are some way, somehow involved in your life, in ministry, through your family, whatever, they have input in your life, don't they? They help you. I think of the guys that I work with on the bus routes. They help me to be what I ought to be as a bus director. I think of, you know, Michael's never going to be what he could be as a youth director until parents and young people all gather around him and help get him where he is and have input in his life. We all need that, don't we? As we grow and as we mature in the Lord, we ought to have people inputting in our life to help change us, to make us better. Well, if we show favoritism, you may miss out on that. You might miss the one that was going to help you the most because you didn't want anything to do with them in the beginning. So we got to be careful of those things. Unkindness. Look at verse 10. He says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Be kind to one another. Unkindness can cause a lot of problems, can it? Slothfulness. Look at this. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We ought to just all jump in there, jump into ministry and serve God together. Impatience, right? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Selfishness. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. See, and unless we get some of these things out of our lives and put some things in, God can't move us to where we ought to be. Vengeful. Look at verse 13. Excuse me. I think my computer messed up. Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And so, these things that we ought not have in our lives, and there's things that we ought to have. Self-centeredness, look at verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. When there's somebody in our church that's hurting, then I would hurt. When there's somebody here that rejoices, there's something good going on in their life, then guess what? I get to rejoice with them. But if I'm self-centered and I'm all about me and my family and no more, I can't partake in that. And so I don't get what God has for me. Dishonesty. Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You want to cause division at your workplace? Do something that's really dishonest. The world doesn't put up with dishonest people, do they? A peaceable life. Catch this. Let's look over in James. James chapter 3. In verse 18. James chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's back up as we think about this. As we think about love and joy and peace, fruit has to be, in order to produce a good harvest, it has to be sown, it has to be nourished, right? You have to do things in order for that to produce. Now, we understand that it's Holy Spirit who produces these things, but we have to allow Him to work in our lives. And the Bible says that the fruit of righteousness is sown in what? Peace. We can have a righteous life if we seek after these things. If we seek after being right with other men. If we seek after being right with God. Let's back up just a little and look at verse 16. It says, For where envying and strife is, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. As we think about this, we sure need God to allow us to be right, to have outward peace with all those around us. So as we think about this, we think about our peace with God. We think about our peace with all those around us. But really, as we think about this, I think the thing that we struggle with more than anything is just peace in our own selves, an inward peace. We worry. We have anxiety in our lives. We have fear that comes up in our lives. Listen, we all have problems, don't we? How many of you have problems at home, at work, at family? Every one of us, right? Some of you started to raise your hand. I mean, all of us do. Are we trusting God to help us through those things, or are we anxious about it? Are we fearful of what may happen? Listen, there's some things that come in our life that can cause us to be very fearful and anxious. There's things that we bring upon ourselves sometimes, right? There's things that, consequences of things that we do and decisions we make that we bring into our own lives. But then there's sometimes just things that happen, right? I listened as I heard of, I believe, three funerals this week of families that have lost loved ones to death, and they're mourning and they're hurting and they're anxious, and they need the peace of God in their life. There's folks in this church that are all awaiting tests or facing tests or looking for results from the hospital. That can cause you to have anxiety, can it? See, there's always storms in there. There's always problems and things that we go to through, whether it's finances or family or spiritual warfare or whatever it is. There's problems in there. There's strife. There's tribulation. There's things. There's storms that come into our lives. And we need the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, to be in our lives to help us through this. You know, as I watch that movie, sometimes you watch these little videos and you feel ashamed of the things that they suffered for Christ, and we think that we suffer. We think that we are sacrificing. Yeah, you think of the ones who have suffered like this man, and we really can't compare to them, can we? Yet, there are genuine things in our lives that are real problems. Things that we need. So, how do we have this peace in our lives? Well, we need to ask God to help us with it. We need to desire it, right? And we need to allow God to work. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 14. Psalm 34 and verse 14. We need to seek it in our lives. We need to seek God to work in our lives. It says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Let me give you this one. Isaiah 26:3, he says, The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Amen. So we need to seek it in our lives and stay our mind on God. You want peace in your life, then your relationship with God has to be right. You have to want that God. You have to want that peace in your life. You have to allow God to work in your life. You're not going to be able to just go home and sit down and, okay, Lord, work on me. No, we need to desire that. We need to set our mind on spiritual things. We need to set our mind and develop a love for God's Word. Psalm 119:165 says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You want to have a right life that doesn't have difficulty, then be in God's Word. Love God's Word. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Yet we struggle. Why do we struggle? If we want peace in our lives, then we need to seek it, to stay our mind on God, to be in His Word, to seek after what He has for us. You know, lots of times when trials and tribulations and things come in our life, these storms hit, we try to solve them ourselves, don't we? We try to work on things ourselves. We try to figure out, what am I going to do? And then we go to our friends, and that's okay if they're godly and there's wisdom there, but sometimes we just want to talk. We're not really searching for a real answer. We just want to really complain about it. Sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes we just want to complain, and we just want to feel sorry for ourselves. God says, move past that. Set that all aside. Seek me. If you really want help, you want peace in your life, seek what I have for you. Stay our mind on God. That's a difficult thing to do sometimes, isn't it? It's something that we have to do on purpose. You know, we come to the men's prayer meeting, and lots of times I'll pray. We'll pray for the service, and we'll pray for all that's going to go on, and the guests that might come, and different prayer requests and different things. And one of the prayers that I pray toward the end is, Lord, keep my mind on you. Prepare my heart for the next day, but Lord, keep my mind on you. Because there's so many distractions, isn't there? There's so many things that can pull us away from focusing on what God has, right? Because He's the one with the answers. You say, I don't understand what's going on in my life. Well, we don't either, maybe. Maybe we don't have the answers either, but God does. God is there. And sometimes the answer is simply allow God to be there. You say, I've prayed and I've sought God's face and I've reached out to Him and I've begged for an answer and it just seems like it's quiet. Maybe simply the Lord is saying, just be still. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. You know, I thought about Richard Warmbrand. He just, you know, they made this statement several times that God is here. I'm in prison and my wife is being abused and mistreated and my son is being mistreated, but God's here. You know, there's things that we encounter in our daily life, in our practical daily life, there's struggles, isn't there? There's folks that hurt. They have physical ailments that sometimes it's just labor just to get up in the morning. God's there. God will help you through these things. It's peace to know that God is there, isn't it? You know, we get so temporal-minded sometimes that we forget. God is eternally minded. And these things come into our lives and these trials and these what we think are huge, huge problems. And maybe they are. And I don't say this as to think that God is being callous or uncaring, but really in God's mind, it's just a little while. Trust me, you'll be with me soon. See, we just need to learn to trust Him. We need to allow peace to rule in our lives. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. We need to allow God to work in our lives. And then cast our care upon Him, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 4:8 says this, I will both lay me down. Now listen to this. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. No matter where we are, no matter what situation is going on in our lives, if we're saved, we have God. He's there. He has what we need. Sometimes God says, you know, I don't want you to have an answer yet. I don't want you to be done with this illness or this problem. And Brother Roger Rakes is doing this back there. He understands because sometimes God has a job for you. Just like this little video, this lady's there and she's working in this canal. And these ladies are telling her, it's so much easier since you're here and we're doing these Bible studies. God has something for you to do and to learn through these trials, if we'll let Him. He'll make us a better person. He'll get us closer to Him and more like Him on the other side if we allow Him to do that. Rest in the Lord. Trust the Lord. Isaiah 12:2 says, Behold, my God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. You know, we really don't deserve much more than salvation, do we? Yet God gives us life, and He gives it more abundantly, doesn't He? Gives us abundant life in Him. So we need to trust Him. You say, Lord, I don't understand why all this had to happen. I don't understand why that person had to act the way they act. Well, first of all, our reactions are not determined by another person's actions. How we react is not determined by them. It's determined by us. But we need to trust God and allow Him to work. We need to rely on Him. Our issue is we refuse sometimes to rely on God. We rely on all our other resources and ourselves rather than just simply trusting Him. You know, I learned some lessons this year. I had a really hard year with my, you know, you don't expect to have to deal with your dad passing away when he's only 64. You don't expect things like that to come in your life. But guess what? They do. And God says, I'm here. You know, a lot of you know, and I don't mention this to sympathize, but I do have a lot of issues with my feet, with neuropathy. And I've asked, and I don't know why God wants me to share this, but anyway, I've prayed for God to take it away. I've asked Him. We've asked Him. And God, up to this point, has said no. And He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. So guess what we need to do? Trust Him. Trust Him. You say, but I've been beat down. I've been battered. I've been hurt. Then get up tomorrow. Get out your Bible. Read it. Pray. Put your boots on. And get back in the battle. Because God has great things for you. You just need to trust Him. See, Pastor preach about the omniscience and the all-knowing and all the things of God. There's just some things that we don't understand that God does. And someday on the other side or down the road, He might show us. But if we let Him work, if we leave Him alone, sometimes we like to just get in the midst of it, don't we? If we just leave it alone and let God work, it's amazing the things that He can do. I think about all the folks who helped with the Vacation Bible School this past week. All the things that went on. I mean, it takes an army to do that. We don't do it by ourselves. I'd run in terror if I had to. 200 kids walk in and you go, no. It takes an army to do that. And I understand that some of you were hurting. Some of you have tremendous trials in your life, yet you showed up every night. I understand that there are men who take vacation for the whole week just so they can be there. I understand that there are folks that have to get up. You know, I felt really rough dragging myself in at 8:30, 9 o'clock. I know some of you had to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and do your regular job, but you were here. And listen, because of all that, because of God working with the teenagers and the young people, we saw 29 people saved. In the midst of it, our pastor went out and led a lady to the Lord that week, so it made 30. If we just leave God alone and just serve Him, and trust Him, place our faith in Him and let Him work, guess what? He'll work. We had a young girl who told Christian on a Monday night, I believe it was Monday night, that she had grown up a Muslim. Well, somebody might say, why'd you let her in the church? Take people where they are. She grew up a Muslim, and she told Christian, she said, I've read the Quran. All it teaches is hatefulness and meanness. She said, there has to be something more. There has to be something more. And that's what we have. We have the blood of Christ, which is the answer to every problem. And guess what? That girl, Christian, introduced that young lady to the King of Kings. And now she knows about the one who can do something more. We had little girls and boys get saved. We had a 9-year-old little boy who told Mr. Hall that he had done things that he didn't think God would ever forgive him for. 9 years old. And he opened up God's Word and explained to him that God is willing to forgive all our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All those sins can be wiped away. And that little boy went home that night with a big grin on his face because he was saved. Sometimes, and I'm done, sometimes we can focus so much on ourselves and our own issues and our own problems that we forget to look up and see what God is doing. I feel so bad for myself. Well, I've learned that most of the time there's always somebody who has it a lot worse than I do. And James says that we ought to rejoice in those things. Why? Because we ought to be more like the Lord. We ought to trust Him. We're to be salt and light. There ought to be a difference in us. How does the world and how do young Christians see a difference in us when those trials hit and we go through it with the peace of God in our lives? And they say, how could he handle that? I don't understand. Because I trust in the Lord. Maturity. Allowing God work. And guess what? The world will be drawn to that because they don't have order. They have chaos. They don't have kindness. They don't have love. They don't have joy in their life, but they're searching. And if we want to give them the answer, then we very first and foremost have to allow God to work in our own lives. And that starts with seeking Him, allowing Him to work, and producing fruit that only He can produce. Let's ask God to help us tonight. You know, I am so excited at things that God is doing in our church. Let's all just get fired up and serve God. That could be our plan. Maybe that'll be our motto. Get fired up and serve God. It's good to serve the Lord, isn't it? It's good to see Him work. And I guarantee you that the good things that God does far outweigh anything we go through. Let's pray. Lord, we sure do thank you for this day. Thank you for this night.